Now, this might look weird that I'm talking into a microphone and you don't hear any sound coming out. But maybe if I hold the mic closer, it'll work. No. They thought that the computer system would amplify this, but the way it's going in as a mic, you need to put it in as a line. And so when it goes in as a mic, it just cybercasts. So the people that are listening over the internet can hear me. And if I didn't hold this mic to my mouth, they could not hear me because this doesn't have a large range. So I thought I'd explain that. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dan Deiniger, also known as Dana's dad, Nicole's dad. Used to they were my kids, now I'm their dad. So it's nice to see so many of you here. And looks like you have found your seats. It was a real challenge. I know you all like to talk to each other. But what I'd like to do is ask Wally Browning to come up and ask a blessing on the Bible study. Wally and I have known each other since we were your age, so that's a long time. That's almost like eternity.
You were smaller then.
I was smaller then. Yeah, give you an example. I have a tuxedo that I used to wear that now Dana wears. It's obviously, I can't wear that tuxedo anymore. Anyway, Wally, if you'd ask the blessing on the Bible study.
Eternal God Almighty, we're very grateful that we can gather together as friends and part of your family in the church on this Sabbath day for this special youth Bible study. We appreciate the fact that you have brought us into your understanding of your way, and we appreciate the fact that you've given us these opportunities to gather together as this expanded family. Now we pray that you'll be with us here for the Bible study, open our minds to understand what it is we're hearing and help us to take part in it and just bless the Bible study that we can learn from it and bless the whole day and the whole weekend that is starting off by this activity. And we just pray that you'll continue to be with us, and we ask you to watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First, I'd like to ask, how many of you are here from Vancouver? Who's not from Vancouver? Oh, okay, that's encouraging because everyone I ran into, I thought they were from Vancouver, Washington. It seems like there's a lot. We're really happy you all came from Vancouver in the Portland area. Those of you from Portland didn't raise your hand when I said Vancouver, did you? I think some of you did. Okay, how many here from Canada? We have some Canadians. Hey, how's your rule? Okay, how many here from the Spokane area? Okay. Wow, where's a few of you? Okay, and how about from Idaho? Hey, Idaho. Oh, wait, okay, where are you from? I don't know you. Are you from Boise? Okay, what's your name? Are you Blue? But that's your last name, that's your first name, right? Aaron Blue, okay. Okay, what about anyone from Seattle or the western coast of Washington State? Who are you? Dan Johnson. Okay, Dan Johnson. Olympia. Oh, Olympia. Oh, you're from Olympia? Okay. You're from
Olympia. We're the youth.
You're it.
Yeah.
100% attendance. Cool. Cool. Go. What was that? Olympia rules? What?
Yeah.
How many from Montana? Hey, Montana. Oh, come on, kids, raise your hands. Everyone here, you got to raise your hands high. Okay. So we got a lot of representation. I know these weekends are really special. Who did I forget? Oh, excuse me. Oh, Salem. Anyone here from Salem? Oh, there's many people here from Salem as there is from Montana. I think there might be more. Okay, how many here from Almsville? Almsville? Okay. Have I forgotten any place? Let's see. Let me think. Tri-Cities?
No?
You used to be there. No one from Tri-Cities? Lethbridge? Portland? Only two from Portland? Hood River? That's a retirement community? No. Squim, okay. Okay, well, I think it's fantastic that we have youth activities. I remember growing up in the church, you know, I haven't forgotten that. I was talking to, who was it? Charlene Chaprinko? Where's she at? Cheryl? Where is she? Oh, there she is. And I couldn't remember meeting her at the feast. I claimed I had Alzheimer's. She agreed, yeah, I probably do. You're an old guy. I've met a few other people from the feast that I'd forgotten I met. Shauna? Pardon? I just met her before this and I forgot her name. But you know, what you're doing is you're building relationships, aren't you? Aren't relationships important? Isn't that why you're here, is to come together and have a good time with each other and build relationships? Oh, he's from Spokane. You all know Mark Mickelson. He's our hosting pastor. I hope you don't mind if I get casual and just instead of sitting down up here. What makes you happy? Oh, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, I like interactive sessions, okay? Go like this. I like to have people, you know, respond. I mean, don't feel like, you know, if I call on you, I'm not really picking on you. Am I, Dana?
Nope.
I pick on him a lot. So you know, Ben, if I pick on you, if I ask you something.
I will not be offended.
And if I don't ask you, you know, don't be offended if I don't. Just raise your hand if you have a comment. Let me rephrase the question. Are relationships important?
Yes.
Why are they important? Eric DeLong. He's from Lethbridge. I know him. I can pick on him. Wait. Speak up. I have to be able to hear you. You learn about other people. You learn about other places. Is that? Did I repeat it correctly? Is that why? Okay, that's why relationships are important? And more. That's part of it. Okay. What else? I have to repeat it so the people in the cybercast can hear. Okay. What's your name? Are you a foster? I thought so, but I don't know your first name. Laura Foster. Laura Foster from Salem. Okay. God created us that we need each other. Anyone disagree? I see some nods in the back row. I see some. Oh. Good. Okay, we agree with that. Why do we need each other? Do you want to elucidate on that, Laura, or do you want someone else to? Oh, your friend next to you from Salem. What's your name?
Sarah
who?
Porter.
Okay, Sarah. Very good. We give each other support. What's that proverb in Ecclesiastes? There's like proverbs in Ecclesiastes too. I think. What's it say about a two-strand cord or a three-strand cord? Does anyone remember that? What's it say about a two-strand cord? Okay, I'm getting some blank looks here. Do you know what a strand is? Yeah, go like this.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a strand is, go like this so I know it. Someone needs to talk to this guy over here in the black. What's? Oh, you have it. Oh, she's got the scripture. We know it's in the Bible. Where is it, Laura? I got the book right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Okay. Okay, Ben's going to follow to make sure you're reading it properly here. Proper tone and inflection, please.
So one may be overpowered by another. Two can stand
Okay. What, would you read that again for us?
I've got the uninspired version.
The uninspired version.
Mine left out some stuff.
Oh, the new international version. Is there anyone else that has this?
The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. The cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
Okay, what's that mean for you? How's that tie into this weekend?
Safety in numbers.
I was wondering about the numbers of guys that weren't here on time.
Ben.
Safety and number. Okay, someone else is going to say something serious. Tristan? No. Someone had their hand up, I thought. How's that relate to this weekend? What's the tie-in to building relationships? Anyone else besides Ben? Did you have your hand up? No? I'm sorry, okay. Oh, this, okay. What's your name? Sabrina. You're around teens that believe the same thing as you. I have to repeat this for the people in the cybercast. It helps you build relationships with other teens that believe the same thing and with God. Why with God? You feel at ease because you're around people that believe the same things. Okay. Shauna? Is it Shauna?
Cheryl.
Who's? Oh, that's Sean. Oh, that's what happened. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, and who's basically behind this activity? God. This is, you know, part of God's body here, right? And this is an activity that's been designed to provide an opportunity for God's young people to fellowship together, recognizing that need, right? To build these relationships. Why is a strong relationship important to you? This is really cool, isn't it, to be here? I mean, it's an old word. I hope you know what I mean. To be here all together, right? Because normally we're all scattered. Like, how many kids are in the church in Helena High? As in, yeah. Yeah, or in Townsend High, you know? You and your brother, right? Where's Townsend? Townsend, Montana. Okay, go on. It helps us build character. Okay, that's a heavy thought. What do you mean by helps us build character? Oh, someone else is going to answer for you. Okay, what's your name?
Ryan.
You're Ryan Foster. Okay. Ryan Foster. Okay. Does that you guys go along with that? I see some nods. Do you have to have other people that believe the same way as you to practice God's law, though? No. It helps. It's easier. Why is it easier? Less stress. Pardon?
Positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure.
Positive peer pressure. That was Ben Morgan from Spokane. It helps to have the interaction with each other, right? So when you come together like this, you have this chance to build relationships, and it's easier because what is it that makes it easier, Sarah? Why is it easier to talk here? You have this common denominator that you all believe the same thing, right? I mean, how much you believe it and accept it is a personal thing, isn't it? Because you're all at different stages of your growth or your conversion or whatever you want to call it. Because if I ask the question and say, how many of you are baptized that are under 20, it's not going to be a lot of you, is it? But God is working with you anyway, isn't he? You can go to 1 Corinthians 7:14. It says, because your parents are called, so are you sanctified. What does that mean? in God's working with you. You're not the same as someone that God is not working with, are you? In other words, there's not a question of whether or not your mind is open to God's truth. We all basically agree on that concept. Now, whether or not you like that like that being the case, you might or you might not. Because there's a responsibility that goes along with that, isn't there? You know God's way, where if you didn't know God's way, you could go out and do whatever you wanted, and you wouldn't have the responsibility of knowing that that's not God's way. You know what I mean? Am I making any sense? But when you're here, you all know what God's way is, and so you can talk about it, and you can relax with each other because you have that same underlying understanding, right? And so we get back to the aspect of building relationships. It's important to have relationships. Why? We talk about a two-strand cord is not easily broken, or a three-strand cord. What does that mean? How does that apply to relationships? How does having a strong relationship help you when you're not here? Pardon?
Makes you a stronger person. Why?
Why does it make you a stronger person? I see one hand now. Just because I see one hand doesn't mean that someone else can't answer. It's like Heather Hurst. You should answer this. Okay, you know other people are going through the same thing you are, and they're going to do it too, is that? You're not the only one. Is that what you were going to say, or is that what were you going? What would? One is the loneliest number. How many of you feel lonely when you're not at a Northwest weekend? I mean, if you're not at, is this a Northwest weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. This is like a teen weekend. How many of you feel lonely between these things? No. No. You don't feel lonely? Pardon? Oh, IRC. Okay, he says he doesn't feel lonely because he's got IRC. How many of you have IRC? IRC helps, doesn't it? Internet Relay Chat.
But not as good as being with the person in person.
Okay. That's a way to maintain contact. But if you, the point I was getting at is, I think someone said they were still lonely. I mean, I get lonely in Helena because there's so few people in Helena. I mean, there's a lot of people in Helena. But if you're the only person at your school, don't you sometimes feel lonely when you take the note to the office and say, I want to take off for this day that's coming up, or because we're going to be gone for a week and a half in the fall, or... Laura? Unless we live in Montana, we're surrounded by people. Yeah, okay. Good, yeah, yeah. Right. So it's having people like mine. You know what I notice about, let's take chat, because I sometimes kick my son off the computer or go on, I have two computers and I sometimes go online. I notice that sometimes that chat is not really heavy-duty religious stuff. And I'm a very strong supporter of chat. I mean, believe me, I am, right? When I tell people about youth chat, I have to generally give a disclaimer. Well, you got to realize these kids are going on youth chat, and it's Friday night, and this is their chance to get together. But I said they're going to be a little bit wild and crazy. Is that a good way to express it? But it's clean. They're having fun, and they're having fun with other kids that believe the same thing as they do, right? Now, I know you have these other, I've heard about, some other chat rooms that are, more biblically oriented.
Young adult chat.
Young adult chat. Bible study chat. You know, it's easy to start another chat room, right? So, I mean, if you want to talk about that kind of stuff, you can go out there and talk about it. And I know in Merck, you can have how many windows open? And you're young and you're not suffering from Alzheimer's, so you can do four things at once, right? Yes, you can. So, I mean, you can be, you know, you can have a conversation going with so-and-so, private chat. You can be in UCG chat, and you can be in your own little Bible study chat, and you can be talking about, what was that topic about? How many? Well, I was told Ryan Foster comes up with some interesting topics. Like, I know, why did Balaam's ass talk? Wasn't that one of the topics? Did you make that up? I think Dana made that up. I thought, oh yeah. Ryan Foster comes up with these good topics like, why did Balaam's ass talk to... So, I mean, you can have these discussions, but what are you doing? You're building relationships, right? And so then when you're sitting there and you're seeing your friends at school doing these weird things, you can be encouraged because you have other friends, right? And these weekends are an opportunity to build relationships, aren't they? What's the key to building relationships? Sort of shifting gears here. Pardon? Trust. Okay. Let's qualify this a little bit where we're headed. Okay. Time to get everyone back on the same page here because we're flipping pages. We're going to a new page. We're building relationships, and when we come together like this to build relationships, it's a challenge to build relationships, isn't it? Especially as a teenager. Well, what is a teenager? I mean, I know it's someone that's age ends in 13, you know, in teen, but what is it? Isn't it a transitional period from being a child? Like, you know, we have some younger children over here in the corner, right? Kids that aren't teenagers yet. They're children, okay? Watch what I say. Okay. Now, then in the back row we have some adults. Some former teenagers. Is that what you said? Older teenagers. Really old. Really older teenagers. Yeah, and we have, you know. Oh, never mind. I see gray hair. You know, I got to watch out for that. I see grandparents, you know, that are here. I'm not that yet, okay? But what is the teenage years? It's a transitional period from being a child to being an adult. And you're learning a lot of things, and you're learning how to interact with each other. And if you don't have other people to interact with, what's going to happen? You're going to be, you could probably express it better. I mean, secluded, in other words? Lost. If you don't have contact with people, how about sheltered? If you run into someone that's never had contact with people, I mean, people actually, they forget how to talk. Did you realize that? Naive. All kinds of things. And so when you come together like this, you're thrown into an environment with other people who believe the same thing that you do, and you have this chance to interact and to build relationships. If you're not careful, you could also destroy them. Or you could, maybe that's not the right term, is it? That's a negative term. You have the chance to damage them. Because hopefully you can regroup and go forward, right? So as you're... When you have this opportunity to build relationships, what are things that you use to build relationships? Or what are traits that are required in a good relationship? Let's say that. Yes? Communication. Okay, so that means that if you come to these things and you sit over there in the corner on the stairs and you don't talk to anyone, you're not going to build relationships? Niall?
Understanding of different personality traits.
understanding the different personality traits. That's sort of deep. Over my head, yeah? I need to go back and be a teenager. No? What do you mean by that, Niall?
Well, if you don't understand, because not everybody is, you know, like yourself, so you have to understand.
You mean they're not like me or they're not like you? Or what,
not like,
like each of us individually. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
That's an astute statement.
Yeah, general understanding of different types of personalities and different ways people will do things so that you can communicate and still get points across and still learn and grow from each other.
That's a good phrase. You say you learn and grow from each other, right? So you're growing by your interaction. Can you think of any scriptures that would lend support to what he just said? And while you're thinking about that, Dan Johnson he was nodding. So what would you like to add to that? Did you guys talk about this on the way over here or something? Let me see if I can repeat this for the people in the cybercast. You're saying that if you're not open-minded and realize that other people are different, you're not going to have very many people to talk to. And so if you need to realize they're different and approach them and accept them. I mean, you don't have to be like, everyone doesn't have to be like you in order to talk to you. Is that what you're saying? Any other comments? Any other scriptural support? Where's that? 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. That was one of the scriptures I was thinking of. Have you ever seen someone sharpening something on a grinder? You have.
I've done it.
You've done it. Caleb's done it. Okay. What happens? You've seen it or you've done it, Caleb?
I've done it.
You've done it. What happens? It makes it sharp, okay. But what happens in the process?
You take away metal.
You take away metal. You take away the dull stuff. What else happens in that process? Is your name Caleb, Ben? Sparks. Okay. Sparks fly. So sometimes when in our relationships, do sparks fly? Why are you laughing? Yeah. And sometimes, let's rephrase that. Are there times when sparks don't fly? In other words, when you're building relationships, sparks might fly. Iron. When you're sharpening iron, you know, when two people are dueling with swords, might there be sparks flying? And yet, if they're doing that in a match, and they're not trying to hurt each other, just dueling, they're having a good time. And man, this is cool, man. You know, touche. You know, and all this stuff. They're jumping back and forth, and you know, hit the you know, clang, 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 clang. You know. Maybe some sparks go flying off their blades, right? But that's part of the thrill of it, isn't it? I remember the first time I saw someone sharpening a knife, and I saw those sparks, and I was afraid because I was just a child. How about you? How were you the first time you saw those sparks? You saw someone grinding a knife on the grinding iron, and you saw those sparks flying down. Wasn't that sort of frightening? And when you touched the metal to the grinding iron the first time, weren't you concerned about whether that was going to hurt you, those of you that have done it? Did you wear a pair of gloves? No? No? Tough. Tough guys. Does it hurt? No. But it looks bad. It looks scary, doesn't it? So there might be situations that come up that might look scary when you're dealing with other people. And if you get off the you know, off the back row or get off the chair and go talk to someone, it might be a challenge, right? But what's going to happen? You'll be sharper for it. You'll develop your personality. And that's positive, isn't it? What are some of the other benefits? Some other things that you need to build relationships. Experiences in common. Common interests. A friendly environment. What else? These are all good. Loyalty. A big smile. Okay, what'd you say, Dana? Common experiences. Isn't this weekend providing the common experience? Okay, so by coming together like this, you have a common experience. You'll have this Bible study to share. You'll have Sabbath services, and then you got the dance. Yeah. What's your name?
Desiree.
Desiree. She's looking forward to the dance. Or was it the girl that's hiding behind there? Who said yes? Someone did. I've heard this neat thing about this dance. I've heard about these decorations, like this big jukebox that Mark Mickelson's going to be sitting in playing the tunes. That he's actually going to be sitting, like he's the robot inside the jukebox. Whoa. You were afraid that was going to happen, weren't you? So he's going to be the guy inside the jukebox playing the tunes. And you'll remember that. The decorations. I guess to get into this dance, you've got to go through a jukebox. I mean like a big... Am I not supposed to be telling about this? Is this a... It sounds pretty cool to me. I mean, I'm just hearing about this stuff. I know Dana's made some decorations he's brought that are going to be hung up and stuff, but I heard this thing about you got to walk through a jukebox. Like they've made this thing that looks like a jukebox that you got to walk through to go into the dance. Then you get inside and on the dance floor, you look up and there's Mark Mickelson inside a jukebox playing the music. So that sounds cool, you know, that'd be fun. And then swing dance music, I hope. I hope there's going to be some swing dance music. And you know, dancing with other people, this is a non-dating activity, so there's no pressure to have to stay with one person the whole time. But to dance, you know, to dance with other people and just have a good time, getting to know each other, and right? And so a common experience. Tristan, what did you say?
Common interest.
Common interest. You all have, we talked about this earlier, you all have a common interest or a common base to be here, don't you? Come on in. Yes, so what was your comment? Common goals. Common goals, common beliefs. What was that last comment? Going the same direction. What is our goal? To be part of God's kingdom. Be part of God's family, right? What are some other scriptures that talk about relationships? Scriptures that talk about relationships. I mean, you don't have to know where they're at. Someone else can probably figure out where they're at. But talking about relationships, what are some scriptures that talk about relationships? Okay, I'll give you a hint. How about... Whoa. Boy, the threat of me giving the scripture. Okay. Would you repeat that? You think that might be Matthew... Let's see. I thought, where is that? You don't know. That's just the golden rule. I thought I'd written that down. Matthew 7:12. Does that sound good? Do, what's that mean, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you? Joshua. Treat, pardon? Close. Josh said the golden rule is to treat others the way they treat you. Okay, that's good. Yeah. But he's missing, I think you got something just a little bit, you missed a part of it. Serve others. Okay, let's go back to what. Okay, what's your first name? Mr. Blue. Aaron. What did he say? It wasn't quite accurate. Is that part? What's that, Josh? Okay. What was your name? BJ. Were you going to say a similar thing or what? He said, if they treat you like scum, you don't treat them like scum back. Okay. Okay, so you treat them back, and then hopefully what will happen? Right, we all agree with that? So the golden rule, treating people the way you want to be treated. How about treating a girl the way you'd like them to treat your sister? Oh, Ryan Foster laughed, huh? Maybe we should ask Laura Foster why he was laughing. Yeah, you could take that a couple ways, Ryan. In other words, okay, you have this ideal of how you would like, say, your future mate to be, right? Come on. You all have an idea of what you like, who you'd like to be. No, let me rephrase that. You all have an idea of what you'd like your future mate to be like, right? And somewhere, hopefully, they're out there right now. Because, I mean, if they're not out there yet, you're going to be marrying someone awfully young. That's called cradle robbers. Okay, so if that person's out there and someone else is dating the person that you're going to marry, your wife or your husband, how do you want them to be treating them? Is that a good question? Okay, now so what? Yeah. She said you'd want them to dump them. Okay, yeah, I can understand. Okay. Is that a carnal response, Laura? I don't know. No, okay. Let me continue with my follow-up question before we get into trouble here. So when you're dating someone and they are someone else's future husband or wife, how would you treat them? Now, dump them. Dump them. Dana said dump them. No, pardon? They need to be treated with respect. That's basically the golden rule, right? Because you're doing unto someone else as you'd have them do unto you. You'd want them to date, and you want the person that they're dating, you want them to treat them with respect, just like they would want you to treat whoever you're dating with respect, because you don't know whose mate they're going to be, but you need to treat them that way. And if they are going to be your mate, they still want to be treated with respect, right? To me, that sounds like pretty much a win-win situation, doesn't it? Okay? So the golden rule is a good thing in building relationships. What else? Anyone else have another biblical scripture that ties into building relationships?
I got one here.
Oh, you got one out of the Bible. Okay.
John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we'd be that strong that we'd be willing to die for our friends. Or I guess it's probably figurative, but, you know.
He thinks it's figurative that you should be willing to die for your friends.
But, you know.
It could, but who knows, maybe it could be real, he said. How many times do you do things that kills you?
Once.
These guys are quick. How many times do you do something that kills you? Only once. It reminds me of a joke, but I'll save it. You can ask me later. When I use the expression, how many times you do something that kills you, I was speaking in a, you know, pardon? Metaphorical, thank you, Dana. In a metaphorical sense. Because we do things that really hurt, don't we? It's like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why are you going to do it? Because it's what you should do, even though you don't want to do it. You know the scripture where it says that he that swears to his own hurt or does something even to his own hurt? Go like this, you've heard that. You know, sometimes we say we'll do something and we don't want to do it, but we've already said we'll do it. So should we do it? Unless there's a reason, I mean, unless it's breaking the law or something, we should do it. And what's that called?
I'm not sure what
laying down your life for others.
Oh, it's called loyalty.
Oh, it's called loyalty, too. What is it? Commitment. It's called love. It's called, someone said, building character. It's called being a Christian. It's called having good relationships. This makes sense? Is being a Christian really that far-fetched? It is far-fetched? Oops. No. No, the point is, you all want to have good friendships, don't you? You all want to have lots of friends. You all want to have a good time. You want to, because what makes you happy? Aren't you happy to be here? I'm happy to be here. It's so good to see everybody. You know, I come in. I gave Wally a hug. I gave his wife a hug. I gave Larry a hug. I gave Chip and Ruth a hug. I gave my wife a hug. Oh, that doesn't count. Oh. It was good to see you, right? It's good to be together and have these times together. And it's good for you to be together and have these opportunities to build friendships. But to build good friendships really is applying Christian principles. Being willing to sacrifice yourself. Doing things that you might not want to do for a friend. That is loyalty. It says, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for a friend. And you have opportunities to do that for your friends, don't you? Christ was a living sacrifice. He set an example. And so when you're doing those kind of things, you're actually doing a Christian thing. I think sometimes that it's easy to look at this term Christian and it's become so, it means something else than what it really is. In this society, if someone says they're Christian, we get this idea of someone who's given their heart to the Lord and they're sort of, and I have to explain what I mean. You understand what I mean, don't you? Okay, are they really living this kind of stuff every day in their life? No. They've given their heart to the Lord, supposedly, but they're not living anything it says. And I think a lot of times what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do, is you're trying to live that way, but when it comes to saying, are you a Christian, you say, I don't know. I don't know if I want that term, because when I think of that term, I think of this kind of a person, and that's not the kind of person I want to be, although you're really trying to live that way, aren't you? And so, all these things about building relationships are Christ-like traits. Now, do we do those things perfectly? Okay. Do you do those things imperfectly? Okay. And you know what? I think part of growing up is coming to the realization that you don't do those things perfectly. That's why Chip Trefrinko said we're still just big teenagers. I think that's probably a good term. We're big teenagers, not just older teenagers. I'm a big teen. Because we're still doing them imperfectly. So what does that teach you eventually as you go through these teenage years? You come to the realization that what? I think you said it.
Speak up.
You're not perfect.
You're not perfect. How many of you have perfect friends? No. How many of you have friends that think they're perfect? Okay, you all have friends who think they're perfect. Yeah. How good of friends are they? They're perfect. Okay. Now, I see we're taking this, we're going two different directions here in our thought processes. Some people have perfect friends, and that's a compliment. They think their friends are perfect. Other people have friends who think they're perfect, and they're not perfect, and that's not good. Right? So, but when we realize that we individually are not perfect, what is that? Is it easy to come to that realization? You know, I think it's, you know, Niall says it's easy to realize you're not perfect. But what about your friends who think they're perfect? They're stubborn. I think maybe for some people, okay, Niall says it's easy. Ben? No? Anyone else? Ryan? That's good. Because if you admit it, it's like what? Admitting you're not perfect. But isn't that also growth? Now, who was the perfect friend? Christ. And he's always there, right? Isn't that one thing about a friend, that they're always there? Probably think of some scriptures like that to talk about friends, that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother or closer than a sister. I mean, you can have a brother or sister and you can be fairly close to them. Now, I don't know how close Ryan and Laura are. After his comment, I don't know. I'm sure they're good friends. But, you know, she might have a friend that's closer than he is. And he might have another friend that's closer than she is. You know what I mean? Because sometimes there's age differences between your brothers and sisters. And sometimes you get separated and you're not near them, but you have a friend who's really close. And Christ is always there, right? So how does this lead into, say, baptism and repentance? Christ is a good role model, a better role model. You're supposed to follow him. Ben? By being baptized and repenting, you're building a strong relationship with Christ. That's all true. What happens on baptism? Whoa, okay. I only have 2 years. What happens when you're baptized? What actually happens? You get dunked. And what happens after you're dunked? You receive the Holy Spirit, which is what? Who said something? I heard someone say something. It's Christ in you, right? If he was perfect, and he was a perfect friend, and he laid down his life, then he strengthens you and helps you to be a better friend and to better do those things that you realize that you're imperfectly doing, right? How many of you have ever been tempted to gossip? None of you. Okay, I see a few little hands going up. But see, don't we realize that we're not supposed to? You realize that. But we all are tempted to, even you guys. Probably tell stories, you know, that would be best left unrepeated. No, they don't do that. Never. No, no, never. Are we? Do we ever say things that hurt someone? You know, you ever really stick it in and then twist it and then push it again and pull it out and walk away? I mean, hopefully we don't. I mean, do we sometimes do that and after we do it, say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I just said, or you say something and after you said it, you realize that that's what you did. And you feel terrible. You say, man, I am such a jerk. With God's Holy Spirit, what happens? You have extra strength, so you catch yourself before that happens, and you can become a better friend. Does that make sense? And so this weekend, you have opportunities to build relationships. And you're all here basically under the same, from the same background, the same understanding. What's so beautiful about that is that you all have that same goal, as Laura, I think, phrased it. You all headed the same direction, so you know you're all going that way, and so it's easier to be forgiving, because do people like to forgive? Out, you know, at school, are they as forgiving as hopefully this group would be? Not even close. And so here, if you make a mistake, you can go back. What's that scripture in Matthew 18:15 about going to your brother alone? And you know the one? You screw up, what do? You can go, you can say, or someone offends you, you can go talk to them. Or you make a mistake. What did Christ say? Forgive a person. How many times? 70 times 7. Mr. Hurst was talking about that. What did you say about? You don't want to share that? I guess not. Something about, never mind. Something about, even people we're close to, we should forgive them when they make a mistake because we want to be forgiven, right? And so in this situation, we should be forgiving of each other when they make mistakes because that builds a friendship. When you forgive someone, doesn't that help you to be a better friend? You know, maybe the last at the Northwest weekend, you said something to somebody in this room that you really, you know, hurt their feelings. It might be, you know, chance tonight or today, saying, you know, hey, I'm sorry what I said. I still want to be your friend, you know, give them a hug or shake their hand or whatever you do, you know, within reason. Okay? But this is a fantastic opportunity to build friendships and to build relationships, and that's really what being a Christian is all about. It's not some mushy stuff, you know, where we just give our heart to the Lord. It's actually living it, and this is an opportunity for you to live it, and for all of us to live it. And that's what makes our lives so exciting. What's that scripture? It says, for my sake, he said, you may lose your father and mother, but he says, I will give you what? I will give you, you know, 100-fold more. You lose your brother, your sister. He said, I'll give you that many more. And you know, you tie in the scripture where it says, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, you have the opportunity to build relationships that are really strong and just as meaningful, if not more meaningful or deeper, than a lot of families in this society have. And that's a beautiful opportunity. And sometimes we wonder, you know, Christ said, I've called you that you may have life more abundant. How does he do that? You know, I think a person could have all the money in the world and still be very unhappy. I also think a person could have no money and be very happy if you have friends. If you have people to spend, you know, to share, you know, time with and do things with and laugh with. And so this is a very special time. It's a time to treasure and to savor and to, you know, develop these things and consciously make an effort. And not just to, you know, stay close with your own little friend, you know, groups, but to get to know everyone. And at the dance, you know, to dance with someone maybe you've never danced with, never even talked to, but, you know, to go up and ask someone to dance that, you know, maybe looks like they haven't been dancing much. Or you see someone that doesn't look like they're talking to someone, get to know them because, you know, they probably have a lot to share, but maybe just a little bit afraid to say anything. Something sort of like, you know, Ben, you know. Just a shy, inhibited type. So I suppose we could go on, but I think they got some grub. Some donuts. Sandwiches and things like that. Any comments you'd like to make? And Mr. Mickelson said we could, since we got the snacks here, I guess you don't really have to rush off to go get a burger somewhere, so you could, any comments anyone would like to make? Or a good closing point to close right there. Oh, we do have one. Laura Foster. Laura, could you hear Laura? She said that it goes on in Matthew 19, what's this verse? Matthew 19, 26, it goes on to say that with men it's impossible, but with God it is possible to build these relationships. And that's something you all have. Remember how we started out? God is working with you. He's made it possible. You have that help and that His Holy Spirit's working with you, even though it might not be in you at this time yet. It's leading you there. And so it is possible. So if there's no other questions, I'd encourage you all to have a great time. Rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in this weekend. You know, have a great time. You know, savor it. Don't let something get in the way. Don't let, you know, anything stop you from having a good time. And don't do anything that would make someone else not have a good time.